Want to make a podcast? Spotify's got a platform that lets you make one super easily, then distribute it everywhere and even earn money. We like that. All in one place for totally free. It's called Spotify for Podcasters. And here's how it works. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your cellular telephone or your computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else, those other places that podcasts are heard.
Video podcasts are also available on Spotify. And when you want to take conversations with your fans to the next level, Q&As and polls are the best way to get them talking. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. And best of all, it's totally free. Zero catch. We've been using it ever since we started How Long Gone. And ever since I discovered Spotify for Podcasters, I feel like having the option of turning off the Q&As and the polls on the user dashboard has really helped boost my creativity and take it to another level. I highly recommend giving it a try. Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to www.spotify.com/podcasters to get started.
All right, you ready to pod, Jason?
I'm ready. Okay, so hi, How Long Gone is here. I'm Jason. Chris is still at his mommy's house, and he is wearing a hot pink long sleeve tee from the Red Scare podcast. Give it up for the ladies of Red Scare.
I had to rep for our friends. I forgot I had this, actually. This is from the holiday season when I ordered it to support them and never wore it, and then... you know, pulled it out today to podcast with you, Jason.
Available at Elementary Flaneur, of course.
Of course, of course. I mean, this is vintage. This probably sold out. You know what I mean? But you can get some other shit.
Heads ain't got that?
I don't think Heads have this. I mean, I'm not totally sure, but Jason and I are both reeling from the Gucci movie poster release.
Yeah, Lady Gaga and Jared Leto. Jared is looking a little different than Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga's looking... you know, dignified and classique. You know, there's a there's like a veil over her face, and she looks like, you know, the headmistress of a house of couture.
Yes, Gaga looking regal, even
regal. And then Jared Leto looks like, I mean, I'm sure people have seen it by the time this episode comes out, but yeah, he's looking,
but Leto, this is what Leto, you
know, like a used car salesman, I guess.
This is what Leto does, bro. He's a committer, and it's cool. Like, I mean whether the movie's good or not, it doesn't matter. Leto, you know, Leto keeps winning, bro. 30 Seconds to Mars is going to sell out Mexico City soccer stadiums. You know what I mean? He's still going to have a hot girlfriend, and he'll somehow, he's already got a six pack back. It's fucking crazy.
And Adam Driver, he's in it too, right? I haven't seen a poster of him yet, but people have been sending me the fucking photo of him riding a horse with his arm vein.
Yeah.
And letting me know that, you know, I could look like that if I worked harder. And that's been helpful to me and my self-esteem.
Adam Driver's class, like one of those classic, like, he's actually ugly, but people have made him hot.
Yeah. That's like the best place you could
absolutely
operate from. Like, my girlfriend definitely has a crush on Adam Driver to the point where it's a little upsetting.
I don't know if I've ever seen him in a movie where he's good.
He's good. He's good.
No, I know he's good, but I'm saying I haven't. I'm not saying he's not good. I'm saying I haven't seen the work, is my point.
Right. You're yet to... You watched Marriage Story, right? I guess that one might be a little triggering for you. Hard to get into it.
I thought it would be, but it was just kind of silly. I didn't think that movie was very good. I saw that shit in theaters, bro. I was ready to go. I was psyched.
So you're like, all right, I'm in the mood for something silly.
I'll
buy the 11:15 matinee to Marriage Story. Watch that.
No, I was
alone.
Ready to ruin
no,
my
I'm
day.
I'm in the mood for a little romp.
I was ready to ruin my day, but I thought the acting was just a little overcooked.
Mm.
The skin was a little too crispy on that ScarJo performance.
Okay. Yeah, I was actually listening to a different podcast, and they were talking about Paul Giamatti. Who somebody mentioned, oh, they should have just used Paul Giamatti to play the Jared Leto character, because that's basically what he looks like after putting on 70 pounds and going bald.
Damn.
And, you know, obviously Giamatti, you know, no shade to Jared Leto, but Giamatti is a much better actor.
Yeah, Giamatti is goat shit. I mean, Leto's
but they were saying, they mentioned a Hollywood, yeah, Leto's a legend. He's solidified himself, but they used a term describing sometimes Giamatti can chew up a scene. Have you heard that Hollywood insider phrase before? I kind of like that.
No, I like that too. Does that mean he makes it better or makes it worse?
It means that his presence in the scene can kind of take too much attention away from it. They used his role in Billions, like
the best show on TV. Yeah, yeah.
Whenever he shows up on screen,
he's too good.
It's not like, oh, here's the actor that's playing this character. It's like, oh, here's Paul Giamatti being Paul Giamatti, and then it kind of takes you out of it.
When you're too good for your own good. I mean, on Billions, did you never watch that show, right?
I watched the first couple seasons. Axe Capital.
When Axe Cap, my shooter, but when he gets into his little like S&M bag and they reveal that that Giamatti a freak,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That really threw me for a loop. I don't want to see Giamatti with the ball gag. I want to see Giamatti with a nice Merlot. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to see him with the ball gag and the whip. Not spoiler alert. Sorry, but Billions was a great show. I kind of fell off, but it's a great program.
I try not to support the Showtime Network for whatever reason. Maybe when Dexter comes back, I'll come back on board. Who knows?
I think Dexter is back. I think there's a Dexter trailer.
No, yeah, Dexter is coming back for another season. I'm definitely hesitant because for whatever reason, when Dexter first came out, the first couple seasons, For some reason, I was just all in with it. I was like, I'm into this vibe because every episode had a beginning, a middle, and an end. Very similar to the structure of Law and Order where you're like,
hold on,
something's going to happen. They're going to catch a...
Is this why you use that eye blinking meme so much?
with my man. What's his name?
I don't know, but it's the guy from Dexter.
Yeah, the guy from Dexter who's doing the...
Yeah, that's a number one TJ meme. I mean, that's a number one TJ. I've received that countless times from you.
You're talking about shockedreaction.gif?
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't know that you were also a Dexter head. So now it's putting the puzzle is coming together for me is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, okay. That's a through line that I didn't put together until now, and it makes a lot of sense. You know, every comedian like myself is a justice porn addict. They want to see a problem in the world and they want to right that wrong. They need to call attention to it. And nobody did it better than Dexter. He literally found somebody who was a problem and then, you know, systematically murders and disposes of their body somewhere near David Grutman's boat in the Miami Harbor.
That's a little violent, you know. Oh, God. Well, did you see this?
Serial killing is violent in nature.
Look at it. But did you see this story I sent you earlier today about this fucking sommelier who's been lighting fires to these little food huts in the Big Apple?
Lighting fires in these little food huts. Nah, I saw that story. I did not read
it. This guy, Caleb Ganser,
mm-hmm.
This motherfucker was sommelier of the year. And he set fire to the Prince Street Pizza street hut. So sick.
did it say why he did this?
Unclear. I think he's just a freak. I think he's just like, I mean, there's a big movement.
Disgruntled?
There's a big movement to abolish these street huts, which I'm behind because they're eyesores. Maybe he's like on his fucking PETA wave. You know what I mean? He's freeing the animals, burning down the factory farm.
I couldn't get Prince Street Pizza to do a buy of 12 cases of my old world burgundy. So this shit about to gotta let it burn. Usher voice is what he said at this. And it actually reminded me when I was getting my haircut yesterday, shout out to Victory Barbershop here in Glendale. But since I'm going to Vegas, the guy cutting my hair, he used to live in Vegas for a long time. And he was telling me what restaurants to go to off the strip, you know, like insider.
Oh, here
spots,
we go. Locals, you know? Only.
Locals only
type beat
destinations. And he was, there's like an old Japanese restaurant there. I think it's called Osaka. They found and caught a disgruntled employee who was planning on placing a bomb inside of the kitchen there.
Really?
And he heard about this. Like, I don't know if it was like a news story, but he found out about it because he had jury duty, and that was the case that was being presented. It was like, oh, like this guy is being tried by like the FBI because they caught him, like literally like, put a bomb inside one of the ovens in the kitchen to like kill everyone in the kitchen and blow the building up. And they caught it because he was a Metro PCS user. And apparently Metro PCS has some type of like AI system or whatever to where if you, if they catch, or you know, there's like a certain number of words that they flag and start monitoring your text messages.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, whatever he was saying ticked enough boxes.
I thought you were going metrosexual there. So to hear Metro PCS was quite a surprise to me. But so you're saying Metro PCS, the low cost cell phone service provider, is indeed the ops?
Yeah, it feels, you know, there's a lot to unravel there, isn't there, as Metro PCS being kind of a lower income.
Yeah, that seems like they're targeting.
Cell phone service provider.
I don't like that at all.
But also, you know, a Metro PCS type of thing, you know, it's literally like, what do I use if I need a burner?
Also true.
Like Metro PCS is here for you.
Also true.
So it does make a little bit of sense, but there's also plenty of people using Metro PCS just because, you know, they need a low cost solution for their data plan.
I love a low cost solution for my data plan. So you're saying you're gonna go possibly risk your life to have some off strip Japanese food in Las Vegas. Good Godspeed, bro. I mean, I don't if somebody plan.
Well, I mean, literally, just
no. This means
just flying into Vegas is putting your life at risk.
Yeah, but not fake COVID risk. I'm talking about like a bomb. That's like real death shit.
No.
That's not like I can't smell for a little while. That's death. Because this sounds like to me there could be an issue here with upper management. And maybe there's a lot of disgruntled. If somebody's going to bomb your restaurant, that means that there's other people that don't like you too. That's pretty big.
Well, it could mean that. It could just be an isolated incident of somebody who is having mental health issues enough to.
Here we go. Mental health. Okay.
Yeah, I know you don't love to talk about mental health, but you know, you could have somebody who's off their rocker.
Of course.
You know,
of course.
Off their meds, and you know, maybe it was a wonderful workplace environment that did not. You know,
that is possible.
Negate the bombing, but
that is possible. But I mean, I don't think I haven't had that many jobs, but I don't think I would bomb any of them. Just for the record, if Metro PCS is listening,
yeah, I've had a lot of jobs that are just simply bomb.
I was about to say when Jason
and I want to thank all my previous employers for that.
When Jason's text bomb, just know he's talking about avocado toast and not actually creating something with the supplies he stole from Home
Depot. And Metro knows that. I made them aware of that. And it's like my style of texting.
It's like when you go out of town, you call your credit card company, like, "Hey, I'm going to Europe for a little while. I just want to let you know, so my card doesn't get turned off." Look, I know I've been talking a lot about bullets, but I'm actually talking about a spreadsheet with bullet points. So I just want to make sure you guys are aware of that. I'm not actually collecting ammo.
We flag this bullet post. We just want to make sure is this the Kentucky Bourbon brand, or are you buying 45 caliber munitions?
We need to know just quickly. This is Andy from Metro PCS just checking in with your crime plans. Just checking on your crime plans. That's pretty fun. I mean, I'm pretty quickly, I guess I need to give a tennis update. Had a lot of tennis action down here in the South. So I
keep it very quick.
We were able to get tickets for the Atlanta Truist Open, an ATP tour stop here at the beautiful Atlantic Station shit outdoor mall.
Mm-hmm. The Truist, you said. So the Truy
tournament, exactly. And unfortunately, the humidity was too great for me to also wear Truys, which would have been kind of an important thing. But so we hit the tournament, and we were able to see the great Australian hope, Nick Kyrgios, live on the court.
Mm-hmm.
And it was honestly, it's a beautiful thing to see. That motherfucker is big. He looking like a damn.
He put on a show.
He looking like a damn b-ball player. I do think, though, because he used to be fat, much like me. And I did see some pictures of him as a child tennis player. He was quite fat. And it looks like to me, because he's, you know, he's a little handsome guy who's looking to, you know, train super hard on the cardio side. He looked like he was wearing some, maybe some Skims underneath his gear. He was wearing he seemed to be wearing two layers of shapewear.
So he had the Skims and the waist trainer.
Well, I'm saying I'm sorry. He had the Skims on top, Skims on bottom, Nike shorts, Nike polo.
Okay.
But he kept tucking it in and adjusting it. I mean, he whipped this guy's ass. He did the like through the legs underhand serve. Like, he did all his little shit.
Humiliating in the best way possible.
Which is great. And luckily for us, it was college night. So the match before was a guy that went to the University of Georgia. So the University of Georgia marching band was in the house to kind of serenade us you know, between points.
Had a little drumline action going.
Which was a nice twist. But then yesterday I also played I was paired up with a 60-year-old lawyer for some tennis, and let me say, bro, it was great. I had a great time.
So you and Robert Kardashian,
me and Rob,
mopped the floor with the competition.
Much like Tupac Shakur, Rob's still alive. You just find him on the tennis court in Avondale. So I drove. I was lucky enough to drive by the original Waffle House location that's now, of course, a museum. And then 8 a.m., it felt like we were in the warmest part of the Caribbean. Like the temperatures here with the humidity are just unbelievable, even at 8 in the morning.
Okay, so the Tom Brown blazer was not working out well in your Turks and Cake like climate.
The Turks and Cake climate was bringing me down a notch. I was, of course, in my tennis whites, but Bob could play. It wasn't a joke. I mean, he did. We went one for one, and then he whipped me in the tiebreaker. So shout out to Bob.
Yeah, that's the cool part about tennis. You can be 60 years old, still out there.
It was just really fun. It was really fun to play with someone I don't know. I have nothing in common with. The small talk was great. He was a good player. We had similar styles. It was fun. The court was nice. He's a member at this country club. You know, it was a fun event. It was a fun activation.
It was a little glimpse into your immediate future.
Immediate. And then we checked out a new restaurant last night that a friend of mine named Katie opened here, called Lucien Books and Wine. And I was very I was very impressed, Jason. It was a full experience. The wine list was looking like a motherfucking zine. Like, this shit was thick, boy. You could check this wine list out at the library.
Issue 5 of Apology is just the wine list.
Yeah, exactly. But the food is great. The selection of books is great. The interior is beautiful. It's worth going to Cursed Buckhead for. So it's been it's time to come home.
Way to signal boost Buckhead businesses.
Well, Buckhead has been suffering during the pandemic, because like most places, the rich white people have left town. So we want to make sure they're pumping those dollars back into their local businesses.
Speaking of Rob Kardashian, our guest today, Jerry Sue.
Oh, Rob's not our guest.
Rob Kardashian is not our posthumous guest.
It
is Jerry Sue. He is a professional skater, amazing photographer. We were just talking to Jesse Pearson last episode about his story that he wrote for the LA Times about guys who fish in the LA River. Jerry shot that, so the synergy is synergizing. And he's also the man behind the cool clothing company Sci-Fi Fantasy, who a fellow Kardashian, Kim, was just recently spotted wearing one of his hats. So I'm curious to see what the
Kardashian effect. Yeah, we need to hear the Kardashian effect. I mean,
has taken onto his small business. You know, see how he's able to navigate that as a young small business owner. Is that good? Is that bad? Are there pros or cons? There's a lot to get into.
Well,
And Chris wants to talk to him about, you know, how, if you can get any tips on how to land that switch heel.
Well, I mean, look, I don't want to bring this up, but he did. First of all, he was sponsored by Osiris, which were maybe one of the ugliest shoe brands of that era. And he coined a trick called the storm flip, which is actually a nollie hard flip combined with a 180 degree body rotation and a late flip, which is pretty sick. Do you think Jerry at 39, do you think he can land a storm flip?
I think so. I think he's still got it. He seems pretty sprightly.
I agree with you, but it's crazy because when I was looking into this, because I mean, we're basically the same age. He's 39. Mm-hmm. So
we're all the same age.
In 2006, when he was doing like a legendary video part, I was doing coke. So it's nice to
you were doing a legendary rail.
Yeah, I was,
and he was doing a five stair, and you were doing a rail.
It's crazy when you realize, like, damn, this guy was, I was the same age, and I was literally dicking around. I had no purpose in life, and he is literally like doing something that goes down in history as like a very important video part.
Don't beat yourself up so bad. I'm sure, you know, we'll ask Jerry about this, but I'm sure, you know, as a professional skater, you also do probably a pretty good amount of dicking around yourself. So don't feel bad.
Yeah, they dick around like in parking lots the same way like hardcore bros do, but then they get up and actually do something. They don't just sit there for 4 hours discussing 7 inches. So it's a little bit.
Yeah, they're dicking around while cashing a check from Emerica to exactly. You know, buy their second condo in Anaheim. That's not all skaters. That one, that's a close reference for me in my SoCal head.
Damn, I didn't know. That was a great, I mean, Southern California is the home of skateboarding. Jerry's also from San Jose. I don't know if you have any knowledge about San Jose. Jason.
Yeah, I do. It's,
No
shade. No shade to my Bay Area bros.
Is there a good sandwich place there or anything? Anything to?
I don't know. I went to San Jose once to DJ, and it wasn't, you know, it was very similar to your college night tennis situation where it's just, yeah, it wasn't necessarily a hub of the arts community, we'll say that.
Understood. Well, I thought
it's a little more LMFAO and a little less,
okay,
insert cool.
I thought just because you're such an explorer and appreciator of the culinary arts, and maybe you could find something everywhere that would tickle your palate.
Oh, I could. And the hotel room in San Jose and the shitty nightclub that I DJ'd at did not have anything to offer in that world, unfortunately. But why don't we give Jerry a Zoom? We'll hear more about the town of San Jose straight from the heel flipping horse's mouth.
Hey there, overwhelmed foodies. Are you drowning in a sea of meal kit options, feeling like you're in a bad dating game where every contestant looks the same? Fear not, because amidst the chaos, there's one shining star worth your culinary affection. Home Chef is not just another fish in the meal kit sea. They're the gourmet catch that you've been dreaming of. Say goodbye to swiping left on lackluster meals and swipe right for the one brand that will make your taste buds swoon.
Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef design recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, I like to chop myself, or quick microwave meals that are assembled in minutes, Home Chef has you and your entire family covered for delicious meals, 30 options per week, and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. I'm keto now. Not only is it convenient, but it is also economical. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Mamma mia.
For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners, 18 free meals plus free shipping on your first box and free dessert for life at homechef.com/howlong. That's homechef.com/howlong for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. Homechef.com/howlong. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert. We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on. I compromise every day, Jason, as you know, because that's kind of part of being a good friend and partner.
Oh, wow.
I am forced to keep food in my refrigerator against my will because my wife demands it. But when it comes to your health, Jason, there's absolutely no compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor who uses your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines, their family group chat, or their crossword puzzles just because they're available right now or because they take your slightly sketchy insurance. I know you have sketchy insurance, Jason. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and most importantly, prioritize your health. And you can search by location, availability, and insurance. So literally no compromises here, because with ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know.
ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. All these doctors are real, with verified reviews from actual patients. We're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists near you, or if you want to book one far away from you, that's your decision. Go to ZocDoc.com/howlong and download ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That is ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/howlong. ZocDoc.com/howlong.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Booking.com. From cozy bed and breakfast to trendy boutique hotels, with so many choices across the beautiful United States of America, you can book whoever you want to be. That can look like booking a 5-star hotel to indulge your luxury side, that's me, or booking a remote cabin in the woods to explore your adventurous side.
So spring has sprung, the sun is out, the sun is shining, I can't wait to get to New York. Check out Booking.com for your ideal hotel or vacation home, no matter where you go in the U.S.
Booking.yeah.
Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com. Booking.yeah. All right, Jerry, what's up? Welcome to the pod. How long gone? We are here to talk about all kinds of stuff today. Where are you zooming in from right now?
I'm at my kitchen table.
Okay. You're in L.A., right?
Yeah. I guess I live in Hancock Park, but basically I just live in like West Hollywood. I live at Beverly and La Brea.
My man.
You know, some guests we talk to them and we're like, oh, what? Oh, you're in LA? I'm in LA too. That's crazy. What hood are you in? And they're like, oh, I'm not going to say. Like they get weirded out. This man, Jerry, pulls up with the cross street coordinates of where he lives.
Yeah. Come find his ass. If you want the smoke, you know exactly where to find his
ass. Yeah, come say hi.
Beverly and La Brea. What an intersection. That one has it all. You know, you're probably posted up at El Coyote sipping some Marks.
I've only been there once. I don't frequent that restaurant very much.
It's disgusting. That's why you don't go there. It's a gross restaurant and people like it for the ambiance, but I'm more of a foodie. You know what I mean? So I can't go somewhere just for the way the walls look.
Not the best Mexican food that the city of LA has to offer, that's sure, but the decor, if you're a drinker, then it's a lot more fun.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, they put up some proposition, some type of like anti-gay.
El Coyote did?
Yeah, so I was just like, oh, that's kind of weak, and I never went there again.
That doesn't make any sense because half the people that work there are as queer as a $3 bill. I thought it was more of a safe haven for the gay community. Who knew?
You know what I mean? You can show up anywhere and things change overnight. You know, ownership is usually, unfortunately, you know, wrong historically. Mm. But Jerry, I appreciate your location. I'm more pro West Hollywood than a lot of my friends. I want to know how you ended up there.
When I moved to LA, I just kind of moved to where my friends lived, and they live like in the like Fairfax, mm-hmm. like Melrosey area. And that was like 9 years ago. I'm pretty fucking mm-hmm. sick of it at this point. I'm ready to leave this area, but I'm kind of like,
what are you sick about?
Yeah. What's the problem?
You don't want to see any more hundreds billboards? What's going on?
I mean, I just kind of, you know, I just want a new environment, I guess.
Okay. Change of scenery. Is there a neighborhood that you've got your eye on?
I mean, not really. It's just pretty much wherever my wife wants to live.
Got it. Have you, you know, maybe consider the fine town of Glendale? What do you think?
You know, what's funny is she loves Glendale, and I'm sort of ambivalent. I mean, like, I kind of want to live in a shittier area. Like, if it was just me, I would kind of live somewhere that's a little more, I guess, exciting.
Okay. Well, if you're looking for shitty, you should check out Highland Park.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the worst.
I've heard of it.
The worst neighborhood in L.A. The worst neighborhood in L.A. Well, I was going to... That actually leads me to one of my questions for you, because I've really been trying to figure this out. You know, I'm an Instagram follower, and I just feel like you really post a lot of cars on fire.
Oh, yeah.
I just need to understand, where are you hanging out? Because I've never seen that kind of stuff. And I just don't understand.
Irwindale.
I don't understand how you're capturing this content. It's A+, but I just don't understand where it's going down.
Well, first of all, thanks for the follow.
Yeah. You look at the photography of Daniel Arnold, and you're like, how does he get these candid shots? He really is a master. And then with you, it's like, how does this guy see so many flaming cars on a day-to-day basis?
A lot of people ask me that. most of it is just, I'm just out there. I'm just like walking around or driving around. I drive around a lot, and I'll just go to an area and kind of like
start lighting some fires.
Just start setting things on fire.
Yeah, usually wait for the magic hour, of course, because we're probably just using natural lighting.
Obviously, but also I have an app.
What?
I have Citizen app.
I was going to make a joke, but you really use the Citizen app?
It's probably like 70-30-30 is Citizen app. Because Citizen app is actually very, it is unreliable. I don't know exactly how it works, but...
The FBI controls it. That's how it works.
It's connected to 911 somehow. And then, but also you can just kind of like, if you're walking down the street and you see something, you can, you know, it's like user-generated shit. So you can like be like, oh, there's a man... you know, there's a man, there's a naked man wielding a machete on at this intersection. Mm-hmm. So you can do so, but that's the unreliable part because like
anyone can write anything.
Well, anyone can write anything and anyone can make a 911 call. So like Citizen is actually pretty unreliable in that it'll be like, oh, there's a car on fire at this intersection. And then you go there and there's nothing because like someone was lying or they said the wrong streets or it just doesn't exist.
Yeah. The life of a night crawler. It's not all.
Yeah. There is some disappointment. You got to be ready for it.
That's interesting. I mean, how do you feel about Citizen app starting to now pay people $25 an hour to film crime scenes? Have you seen this?
I didn't know that, but I had noticed there was something that came up the other day where there was like people talking. They were like kind of like they're like being reporters kind of. And I had never seen this before. The other day something popped up and there was a guy talking into, he was basically like, you know, kind of like a night crawlery type guy, like an amateur reporter type guy. And he was talking into the phone or whatever, just like at the scene or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that is so funny. I've never seen that before. No one's ever done that. Usually people are just like filming.
They're getting paid $25 an hour now. So this is not a game. If you're looking for a little extra income, you know.
and then later that day, I saw him. Like I was at this accident and I saw him. It was so crazy. And he was like asking me questions and I was like, whoa, like that's so weird. I just saw you on this thing. And then like, I'm probably going to see him again.
I was at this accident.
So he's like an ambulance chaser.
Yeah.
Type of guy, or I guess a citizen chaser.
I thought he was just doing it for fun, but I didn't even know that Citizen was paying people. That's so.
Well, when you love your job, you never work a day in your life.
Yeah. I mean, he's doing well.
I mean, he might be, he could just be, I also feel like people like that, I feel like we could discover that this guy's got like a big YouTube following or something, and it wouldn't be that shocking.
No, not at all. I mean, like he's so friendly looking to the point where I was a little bit scared of him. Especially it's also weird like seeing another guy who's like kind of doing what you're doing when you were the only one for a while, and then you like see another. You're like, oh, like. Hey, like, or you know, you don't really
right. You have a connection with them, but it's kind of like, hey, did you know, you're new here. I'm triple OG. I earned my stripes.
Yeah.
You know, you're not allowed to skate this spot just quite yet. We have to vet you first.
Yeah, it's cool that he's not really photographing it or anything. He's just, you know, he's just like being a reporter or whatever. So
He just wears a suit.
Yeah,
he wears a cheap suit and has a long microphone.
Weird. He has a KTLA coffee mug while he's doing it. I don't really know. It's weird. He seems independent though.
So we're in WeHo. We're filming flaming cars. And we're also running a small business and skating spots. What else are we doing with our time? What are you and the wife doing extracurricularly?
Well, she doesn't have much of an extracurricular life. She just works her face off.
Okay.
And then
I'm glad one of you does. That's nice to hear.
Same thing with my life partner.
Yeah, I'm so proud of her. I mean that's pretty much all I do. I just kind of walk around and take pictures, and then I sort of run a business. And and then
you're not sort of running a business. Your business is a legitimate business that seems to be doing well.
Yeah, I mean it does well. I guess I just say sort of because I have no idea what I'm doing every single day, and I'm like not entrepreneurial in any way. And then I think if any like real person like that were to like look at how I do this, they would just be like, "Yo, what are you doing, bro?"
I mean, not necessarily.
I mean, maybe, I don't know. I guess I just like it's difficult for me to accept sometimes that I like run this like skateboard company or whatever, and now it's a skateboard company, which is like so weird too. But like I mean, like that people would like look at me and be like, duh, why wouldn't you do that? But
yeah,
for me, for like years, or basically my whole life, I was like, I'm never gonna have a skateboard company, because I would like watch all my friends do it, like my other friends who are like other pro skaters or whatever, and it would just ruin their lives for a while. So I kind of was like, I'll never do that. And then accidentally it is sort of like happening.
Are you making boards now and shit? Is that why you say it's a skate? It's more legitimized as a
skate? Because okay. In the beginning it was just like I was just messing around and then just like making clothes and stuff, like really simple shit. And then people were like, "Oh, you're gonna make boards?" I was like, well, no, because in the era that I come from, it's like, if you have a skateboard company, it's like boards, video, team. It was like this whole,
sure.
You know, like
the classic setup,
right? Like the classic recipe or whatever. And then,
I got to buy a van. I got to drive to demo.
Yeah. Like
I
got to
spend more time in San Diego than I was hoping to.
I have to talk to people. That was kind of the main thing.
You know, you're a testament to the fact that that kind of, you know, that old system is not the only way you need to do it anymore. I mean, the same way where we are starting a podcast, it's just like, oh, now you can just do it however you want to do it. You don't have to be like,
yeah,
get a radio show and go to school for communications or whatever. You know, you just start doing it, and you can make a skateboard company however you want to make it.
Yeah, I mean, there's kids right now that made a skateboard company like with their iPhone and nothing else.
That pisses me the hell off.
And like, yeah, it's nice. Like, it's nice that you know, a lot of people have been doing this for a while. And that's kind of how I realized that I could do it, because, you know, yeah, all those like gatekeepers are dead. All those old system is, you know, it exists, but they're not the only way in anymore.
All those Santa Cruz tattoos have long faded, haven't they?
Right. Exactly. yeah, it's nice. It's just, you don't have to follow those rules anymore. Not that you ever really did, but for me, I was just, it took a while to like just snap out of it.
Yeah, I mean, you experienced the world of, you know, the skateboarding business before Christ and the after death versions of it. So some of that residual stuff is still going to be knocking around in your head of like, this is the way you got to do it.
Yeah, for sure. What a time.
That system still exists, right? I mean, that still happens. Like we put this stuff out, we do a video, we do demos. I mean, that hasn't changed like holistically, but there's more people doing what you're doing is basically what you're saying.
Yeah, totally. Like all that stuff still exists. But you just don't have like back in the day, basically it's like giant distribution company would be like, hey, if you want to give us your ideas, we'll give you this company, production, everything, marketing. You could like we have a whole team of people that will just run your company, and we'll give you 3%. How's that sound? As a 21-year-old skater or whatever, you're like, wow, hell yeah, I don't have any money, like, deal.
You're like, what's 3% of 20 million?
Yeah.
That's gotta be something.
So they were just being taken advantage of because like by business people there, because, you know, they just have this idea, this dream, and they want to do it. They have no like liquid cash. They're not going to like go around like raising money. They're just going to go to the gatekeepers or whatever. And it's crazy. I've talked to pro skate, like, I won't say who, but like there are people out there whose brands are like, you know, bedrock skateboard companies, like skateboard companies where you see it and you're like, oh, that's the guy. Like they own nothing. They literally, like, if they died today, their family, nothing. They would just get nothing.
And they have a legacy skateboard brand. Their name is synonymous with it.
Yeah.
And they dead ass own 3% of toy.
Yeah, they own like literally nothing. I mean, like the person I'm talking about is literally nothing, zero.
Jesus.
Like he's just an employee or whatever.
Yeah, I was about to say, so he just gets like a salary or whatever, but he has no ownership.
Right.
So Jamie Thomas has nothing.
That's crazy, bro. I didn't. That's crazy.
Exactly.
I think that just kind of reminds me of like that's like the music business back in the day too. You know what I mean? Where you just kind of sign everything away and you don't necessarily realize what you're getting. You don't realize that like you have to pay back in advance. You know what I mean? It's the same
That's every old legacy, record industry, movies, film, TV, that's all that shit. And now 14-year-olds with an iPhone can destroy that whole system. And you have to be hot.
But is it crazy to see what it's become? Because you've been doing this shit for a long time, and I feel like skateboarding is crazier than it ever has been. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I would say you're pretty correct. I mean, it's probably more popular than it's ever been. So
good time to start a little skate company. You know what I'm saying? Good time to start a little skate company. You know what I mean? Get some of those ducats from these kids. You know what I mean?
Oh, love ducats.
Yeah, I don't know if it's quite as crazy as it was, like, you know, in the 80s boom, or like, you know, the small wheel 90s boom. But I think it's crazier just in a different way, you know, in a way that you don't have to really work as hard to get there. Like, you can just open up your phone and some kid in Minneapolis is going to teach you how to do a pop shove it on YouTube, and you can just learn versus like spending years, you know, just like going to a skate park and being a loser and watching people quietly and then slowly picking it up. Now you can just be completely alone in the middle of nowhere and get every piece of information you would ever need to learn how to skate.
Yeah, which is, I guess, is good and bad. I mean, like, the accessibility of everything kind of, it's a trip to me because I definitely grew up, like when I started skating, it was dead and hated and nobody wanted to skate. It was like,
even like in California, which is considered like the motherland.
Yeah. I mean, like I didn't grow up in LA. I grew up in San Jose, which is in Northern California. It was, and I just grew up in like this little suburb. And when I started, it was, I saw maybe like, there was like two skateboarders like who lived near me that I would see sometimes. And that was it. That was like, nobody skated. And it was the type of thing where like high schoolers and pickup trucks would like throw like milkshakes at you when they drove by, like type stuff.
Sure. Of course. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when I see, you know, so when I see like how skateboarding is now, I'll like meet girls who like want to meet skaters. And that just like blows my mind because when we were skating,
well,
like,
to be fair, Jerry, skaters are hot. So I think that is, I get it, you know.
Yeah, but you know, when Jerry started, when people are throwing milkshakes at him from Toyota Tacomas that are lifted with a Baja kit, you know, I assume there's not a line of young hotties wrapping around the corner to fillet him, is what he's saying. Yeah.
That is exactly what I'm saying.
Thank you for clearing that up, Jason. I apologize. I needed to put it in language I could understand.
And because of that, there's like a little bit of, you know, badge of honor, like you weren't there, you know, grinding in the trenches like I was, earning my stripes. You just showed up and, you know, watched a tutorial on how to put grip tape on. And now your penis is being sucked. And it's easy to be angry about that.
I mean, I'm not angry at that.
I don't think you're angry, but you know, some people who don't have maybe, you know, their emotions in check might, you know, they'll be calling bullshit on it, and those, you know, those kind of salty old heads reveal themselves.
I don't, you know, like, yeah, like I definitely try not to be salty or bitter about anything that's going on.
And you don't seem like that whatsoever.
But I do like to point out when a younger friend or whatever is kind of complaining about something, and I'll just be like, well, you know, like, it's kind of nice, you know, it's kind of nice right now for you because I mean I just try to like, all I do is just try to be like, give a little perspective, and maybe that'll help you with, you know, whatever it is you're going through right now, because it could be a lot worse.
And that, I think that kind of thing has always been going on since the dawn of time, and you'll always have a couple kids who will be like, you know what, I'm going to listen to Jerry, and you know, he's got some insights on the matter, and I'm going to take that perspective into play, be grateful for what I've got, and a couple people will follow along and learn the right way, and then everyone else will just call you, you know, some old head and fuck you.
I mean, that's the dream, right? If some couple people just listened to me, that'd be great.
Yeah, that's what happens once you start seeing the business end of 40, you're like, you know what, I have some information that some younger people that I feel like are doing the right thing, they're on the right path, and I could help them grow, and one day they'll be, you know, I'll be on my deathbed and they'll be like, Jerry, thank you so much for teaching me the right way to do this.
that's all we
versus
can.
Fuck you, old man.
I mean, like, I had to experience a lot of it because growing up in San Jose, there was like kind of this like you know, like these like, you know, punk 80s dudes that like skaters that I would like run into and stuff, and you know, they're filled with quote unquote wisdom. They're always trying to like, you know, they were always trying to like, you know, parlay it on me or whatever. And so I kind of got an idea of like, okay, like these guys are being very like aggressive with their knowledge. I need to like, so it kind of taught me like, oh, when I get there, I'll try not to be so, you know, try not to just be so pushy about it. But I mean, like, it is sort of, it is a tale as old as time where like, you know, you get older and then you see, you sort of just like intrinsically do not like what's going on with your thing, but with like, yes, another generation, you know what I mean? So like, I definitely have to like catch myself before I look like a total asshole or.
Mm. Do you feel yourself like catching yourself being hesitant to maybe like say a word that like the young people are saying?
What, like the N-word?
That is an example of a word that young people are saying, sure. But
we're
thinking more
TikTok slang. You know what I mean?
Like skateboarding slang words where you, when you first heard it, you're like, oh, God, that is so fucking lame. And then it becomes like a word that everyone just says. And then you're like, well, I guess I'm about to say chuggy or whatever, you know, whatever word, you know, like I just said.
This happened to me with the word fam. You know, I never wanted to be the guy who said mm-hmm. the word fam, actually. And unfortunately, now it has seeped into my mm-hmm. vocabulary lexicon, and there's no going back. Like, I'm neck deep in this water.
The first time you say is that something, you know, like, this spot is lit. You can't put that toothpaste back in that tube. Be like, well, I guess I'm a guy that just said lit. And then, you know, 6 months later, it's not even a thing that you think about.
Yeah, those types of things, like, they start out as ironic, but then slowly mm-hmm. they just become just the word dog. What about my dog? Like,
even the word dog.
I've been calling my dogs for like 10 years. And in the beginning, it was just like, oh, haha, like, what up, dog? But now,
mm-hmm. sure.
Now it's a very.
Now you're going to say it on one of your dogs' funerals, and no one, no one will find any irony in it.
No, yeah, that's
just real. It's just real. No, I mean, this is what happens. I mean, unfortunately, slang is everywhere, and I feel like you probably, much like Jason and I, we spend time with some younger people due to our line of work. So I think maybe we're, you know, most people our age are not catching on to these slang trends the way that we are forced to.
Yeah, I mean, like, I hang out with kids that are half my age. It is a trip. But, I mean, they're cool. Like, most of them just seem old.
Do you run your business out of an office, or do you just run it out of the crib?
Just out of my iPhone. we don't have an office or anything. We just kind of like, I don't know, we just kind of like run it with our computers.
You got a partner?
No, I don't have a partner. It's just me, and then I have someone who basically he runs production and like logistical stuff, like all the stuff that I am like too dumb or unwilling to do, he does it. So basically, yeah, that's it.
Did you have a hard time asking for help when the business grew big enough to start needing that, or are you good at reaching out and, you know, getting some delegation for stuff?
No, I'm like pretty good at it. Like, I knew it was time for help, and luckily like the right person came along. But yeah, like, no, I'm really good at asking for help, because, you know, like,
can you teach me that, please?
Yeah, like I literally I don't know how to do very basic things when it comes to like, say, like design or any type of thing about running anything. So I will just call everyone that I think knows how to do this. Mm-hmm. Just be like, yo dog, I don't know how.
What is
I don't
Gmail?
Know how this works.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, like,
I've been hearing about it
in the beginning of this whole thing. Like, I had to ask my wife, like, what is a PDF? Like, I didn't even know what that was. Like, I kind of did, mm-hmm. but I didn't know. I definitely didn't know how to make one, and I didn't know how to do any. You know, so that's embarrassing. But and she actually knows so much about everything and has helped me a lot. Like, she even knows how to Illustrator. She knows about design. She literally knows how to do everything. And she also just makes me feel stupid when I don't know something, like, in a good way, in like a constructive way. She's just like, I cannot believe you don't know how to do that.
And you're like, land this fucking hard flip, bitch. Then start talking.
I mean, but she does point out that I've been a coddled pro skater for my entire adult life. So
I bet she does. I don't even know the woman, and I can hear it now. I'm sure that happens as often as possible.
So you're saying that she has to open your Capri Suns for you?
Well, I kind of, she doesn't have to, but I prefer it.
It would be nice if you would.
Yeah. I mean, it would just, you know, it's like a little extra is nice.
Well, I think that's great. You know, that you're able to have such a wonderful relationship with your partner. Do you think that her ability to work super hard? I asked this question to Jesse Pearson, who was on the last episode. I know that you guys know each other from working together, but he was talking about how the fact that his partner is such a hard worker, and how that kind of helps like indirectly motivate him is just like, oh, like I'm just watching her busting ass, so I need to probably do some of that, and more so that than her, you know, telling you directly like time to turn things up a little bit.
That's highly motivating in a lot of ways, because, and it's also like attractive, I think, like if you, you know, if your partner is like really
a lazy dick, doesn't get sucked. Yeah.
That's true. Oh my God. Nothing truer has ever been said.
Learn that one the hard way.
She's so busy that I don't know. It does make me kind of work harder, because
what does she do for a living, if you don't mind me asking?
She's a costume designer for movies.
Oh, cool.
Oh, okay.
You know, like A24 type movies, like, you know, like Lady Bird or like Beach Bum.
Damn, Beach Bum.
Let's talk about Beach Bum, because that's an underrated classic.
Damn, Shorty deserves an Oscar for that.
Well, underrated classic. I was talking about this movie the other day. I'm like, it was weird, but it wasn't that
weird. Right, like not as weird as you wanted it to be?
No, I'm saying not as weird that it wouldn't receive more acclaim.
Oh, I see.
Does that make sense? Like, I didn't think it was some like off the deep end Harmony Korine movie. I thought it was like...
It wasn't like Gummo.
Yeah, it was pretty palatable. So I was surprised it didn't get more acclaim. I really liked it.
Yeah, I liked it too. And I was also... I was on set once, and I and that was like really exciting. And I met I met McConaughey, and like it was great. First of all, crazy to be in his presence.
His gravitational pull is strong, I'm sure.
Yeah, and he introduced himself in like the most McConaughey way that I could ever imagine, which was like my wife was like, oh, this is my husband Jerry, and he's like, oh yeah, what's going on, McConaughey, and just like held his hand out, and it was so awesome.
responding to that, saying "Oh yeah," is very cool.
Oh yeah,
yeah, I like that. It's a question. You know what I mean? That's a very nice way.
Put it there, Jerry.
Was that in Miami or was it another part of Florida?
We were in Miami. Yeah.
Well, speaking of travel, I know this your tale of having a partner who works in, you know, fashion wardrobe stuff. My girlfriend's like that, and she's also a big, you know, crazy workaholic. And you and I have a little bit of a similarity to where we spent a lot of our younger lives, you know, teens, 20s, things like that, constantly traveling. I was a DJ, so I was always traveling all over the place, and I'm sure you did a shitload of that for skating stuff. And she loves taking vacations. It's like a necessity for her, and I'm a little bit like, you know, I'm kind of all set on that. Is that, you know, how do you guys navigate that whole world? Is it, you know, do you take vacations a lot, or are you kind of...
Well, these days, not so much, because she literally has no time to do that. But a couple of years ago, so she's, her father's from Greece, and, you know, she always talked about going to Greece, and like, you know, we were always just too busy, and like, you know, there's like this window in the summer that she always wanted to go. Like, I'm kind of the same way, where I'll just kind of like, oh, vacation, like I can't like sit at a beach for 2 weeks, like that will drive me insane. But she was like, I want to go to Greece and just hang out for a couple weeks, and I was just like, oh man, like all right, for how long? And she's like, 2 weeks. And I was like, damn, like I don't know how I'm gonna...
And you're like, is Mountain Dew going to pay for this? Or, and she's like, no, yeah, it's coming out of pocket.
Which team manager is going to pick us up at the airport? I don't really know. Like, who's going to like take us to the hotel, and who's going to give us per diem? Like, I don't really, you know, yeah, like
the Greek currency crashed. So we're worried.
And do we have to go straight to the shop signing, like right after we get off the plane? But she was like, yeah, like just do nothing for 2 weeks. And I was like really having anxiety about it. Like, oh, I don't know if I can like handle that. But Greece was so fucking awesome that every single day was like, I loved it. And it really kind of like, you know, vacationing with her was amazing. So I like it, but there are certain types, like sitting on a beach and just like looking at the ocean for day after day, I cannot do that.
Pretending to read a book.
I cannot pretend to read for 2 weeks.
I'm with you. I mean, if you're a guy that walks around and takes photos all day, you know what I mean? That's tough. That's literally the opposite of what you're doing.
Yeah. So it does, you know, I do get kind of like, you know, antsy, but I like it.
What did you think about Athens? Because we Jason and I both love Athens, Greece. I think it's an underappreciated city. Did you guys stop there, or did you just go?
No, so we Island? Yeah, so we stayed in Athens for a couple of days at the beginning and the end, but I really liked it, and you know, it feels good there. It feels like there's like a lot of weirdness, a lot of weirdos, which I like.
I think I know why you liked it. A lot of burning cars.
Yeah, I was about to say.
And it's if you love cheese and cigarettes as much as I do, another great spot.
I mean, those are three really great things about Europe.
Cheese, cigarettes, and flaming vehicles. Military, a lot of military vehicles.
Yeah. Anything on fire is great. Doesn't have to be a car.
Speaking of small business, I wanted to talk to you about the Kardashian effect on your small business. it's been about a month or so since she was spotted wearing one of your company's hats, Sci-Fi Fantasy. How has that made any significant differences or changes in your business? Was there a sales spike? Did you like it? Did you hate it?
Is the Bentley park itself, or do you have to like pull it up to the curb? what's the vibe?
Well, there was definitely an effect, and I mean, definitely like online, like you know, like just like text and Instagram, it definitely was like pretty crazy for a few.
The followers went up.
Yeah, and like I mean, there was like definitely a direct effect, but like spike in sales wise, you know, I can't really measure that very well because I literally just didn't have anything to sell. Like we kind of like,
God damn it, Jerry. God damn it.
Well, this is it.
Well, how is he to know?
You are bad at this business stuff. You really are.
Yeah,
I'm
bad at this business thing, but we did. But like my guy was like, yo, like this Kardashian thing is kind of crazy. Like, should we just like throw whatever up on the website that's just kind of like laying around? And I was like, sure. Just kind of see what happens. And that stuff all went. And you can go on like the Shopify, you can like see the activity, you can see like who's on it or whatever. And you know,
it's like the analytics.
Yeah. But you know, to be honest, I was pretty kind of just like, I didn't really know how to feel about it. Obviously it's a good thing, but I was also like, is this a good thing? I don't know if this is a good thing.
I mean, as somebody who is probably, you know, controlling or, you know, cares a lot about how their brand is perceived into the world, you can obviously look at the downsides of something like that. Like when a restaurant gets a really good review and it's like, oh, that's awesome, love the attention, love the new business, but also like now running our business just became a lot more difficult.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it was obviously a good thing. There was, and obviously, like, you know, more eyes on it. That's cool, I guess. But
how do you think it happened? Do you know how it happened? Or is it like a stylist bought it and put it on her kind of shit?
My wife did some detective work. She's also a detective.
Well, they all are. They all are.
she found the stylist who bought it. Somehow,
I know who the style. Okay, I think I know who the stylist is, and it all makes sense.
And I mean, she must have like 10 stylists. I don't know, like
yeah,
for sure.
People are always like, "How did this happen?" And I'm like, I don't fuck. Like, how am I supposed to know? I don't know. Like,
you're like, well, I wrote Kim a letter every single day for 5 months, and she finally wore my hat. Yeah.
I mean, this happened. I remember when this happened to, you know, the brand Noah. Mm-hmm. But my friend Brendan is the owner of that. And when Justin Bieber wore the hat, he was just like, what do you want me to say? Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, Justin Bieber wore the fucking hat a couple times. Like, there's not much like, yeah, of course there's going to be like a traffic spike and shit, but it's not going to like change my life overnight, you know?
Yeah. I think like a lot of my friends were just like, they were just like congratulating me about it. And, you know, just like, wow, holy shit. Like fucking here we go. Like millionaire. And I was just like, well, I mean, not really, like,
yeah,
I don't know. People kind of have like a, like just having like a company like this, like people just think you're rich. And like, that's really, really funny to me because like, that is so far from the truth. Like,
it's just the popularity of streetwear. I think that's really what it comes down to. It's like, because we all know people who are very rich from doing the same thing. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's like in theory that could happen, but I think the heyday of like, there was a time where like, you know, if Kanye West wears your graphic t-shirt, you literally can get rich overnight. You know, if you're prepared for it.
Yeah.
And I think that time might be over. I think the market is just pretty saturated.
Yeah. I definitely wasn't prepared for it, which like, I don't really care that much about, but,
no,
it would have been funny. It would have been funny if the timing was like just right. And I,
you're just like selling out of boards that people don't even know what to do with because it's all that's the only thing on the site to buy.
I bought bearings.
yeah, you put trucks on the website when Kim wears the hat. That's a good idea.
Jerry, so now I wanted to get your opinion, your thoughts, how you're feeling about watching the Olympics.
I mean, I don't really give a shit about the Olympics.
but you give a shit about skateboarding.
I do give a shit about skateboarding. And so like, I'm kind of like right in the middle when it comes to this, just the Olympics in general. Like, I'm all for like the pinnacle of human achievement or whatever.
Same.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Like basically, like when I see someone from some whatever country wins a gold medal, and it's like their whole, you can see it, they start crying, their whole lives have led to this moment. And like, how can you not feel something when you see something like that?
Sure, sure.
That's fucking insane. So like in that aspect, like that's cool. But skateboarding in Olympics is kind of like, I just find it a little bit like crass and kind of like, this is just a way to like make the Olympics more appealing to a certain, like young people, basically. Like, hey, check it out, we have skateboarding now, mm-hmm. which is sort of like the thing that every company does, or every like,
brand.
Yeah, everyone wants, like everyone uses skateboarding in that way. So I don't know. I don't.
Even the longboards.
So I don't really like, I don't know. I mean, I didn't even watch it. I just kind of like, because all it is another skateboard contest. And I've seen those before, but I don't want to take away from like how important it is for, you know, certain people, how important the Olympics are and how, and like what it, you know, like what it means to like reach this level or whatever. But
I mean, I think it's hardwired. If you're like a fencer, you know what I mean? Or a diver, this is the greatest. This is the, like you said, this is the pinnacle. This is, it's not going to get bigger than this for you. Whereas for skateboarding, that's probably not true.
Well, it's not only the pinnacle, it's the only thing.
Right. And like, you know, and sports in the Olympics, it seems pretty arbitrary what is an Olympic sport, you know, like there's like sharpshooting, there's, you know what I mean, like it's like it's yeah. really, I mean, it's weird. When I first started hearing about skateboarding being the Olympics, it's just like, you know, why, like what for? And you know, it's just really, I mean, in the end, at the end of the day, it's just really just to make more money. It's just more eyes on it. And like, yeah. I mean, the people who run skateboarding in the Olympics are just like old, like they're like 65-year-old white guys in Switzerland. Like, it's not really like, what does this have to do with what I do, you know? Like, so I don't know. I mean, I just like kind of don't give a fuck about it.
For me, it kind of reminded me the first time the X Games came out.
Did you ever do the X Games, Jerry?
No, I was I was invited to one once, but I didn't.
God damn it! I was really hoping you did. I was really hoping. I had a feeling the answer was no.
I mean, it might have been. It would have been a good story, but also like contests are not a thing that I am good at or want to do. Like I've entered pro contests and.
We know, come on, you did Tampa a few times. Let's be real.
I did. I mean, like, I did Tampa Am, and, like, I choked so hard that it just made me, like, I was just like, I can't do this. Like, I can't do this at all. And luckily, like, in skating, like, you don't have to do contests.
Yeah.
Like, you can, you know, you can, like, be a completely other kind of skater. But, wow, I was like, I don't like this feeling, and I'm wasting people's time if I'm here. This is embarrassing. I'm not going to do this anymore. So I just never really did it. I don't know. Contests are weird, especially when they get into, like, the, you know, the real, like, when it gets filtered through, like, that corporate, like, X Games Mountain Dew type thing.
Mm-hmm. Gets a little too Burnquist-y, doesn't it?
It's a Dew Tour. It's like a Dew Tour Nyjah Houston in, like, full Nike with the AirPods in. You know, it's like a different, it's a very different vibe than,
yeah,
than
it, yeah,
the,
skate, yeah.
the skateboarding that like you grew up doing.
Yeah, I mean, the skateboard I grew up doing was, yeah, just, it's just like.
Somebody calling you a fag and then throwing a milkshake at you?
Basically, yeah. And then we just try to do kickflips over the milkshake. That was pretty much like, we had nothing.
That was it.
Yeah, I mean, the uniforms really take the Olympics to another level, too, I think. Like, that is so, that is, like, to me, the antithesis of like, skateboarding. So it's pretty funny to see that addition to the sport in this case.
Everything that has to do with committee and organization and, like, rules just makes skating less appealing to me. Mm-hmm. You know, like, because, like, you know, skateboarding is like that. There's no organizing body. There's no unions. There's no, you know, the whole thing is about freedom or whatever. And, like, so, like, you know, putting it into this context is pretty funny. But at the same time, like, skateboarding isn't one thing. It's, like, many, many, many different things. And people are always just like, should skateboarding be in the Olympics? And I'm like, well, I mean, it is. So who cares? I don't know. Like, there is no way it should be. Like, what was music like in 1989? And there's like 100 different kinds of music. Like, I don't know how to, you know, people are always like, what was skateboarding like in at this time? And I'm like, well, it was so many things. Like, where do I begin? So, you know, skateboarding being in the Olympics, like, well, whatever. It's just like another weird thing it's going through. And it's not everything. It's only like one small part of skating is this type of shit that you're seeing on TV. Mm-hmm. It's cool.
I feel that. It's a good stance to have.
Are you as a former Osiris pro rider, what are your thoughts on the puffy shoes return?
I mean, bring it on.
Bring it on, bitch.
I mean, all that stuff recycles. Everything comes back. It leaves, it comes back. I'm all for it. Plus it'll you know, it'll maybe it'll bring some more.
You got royalties?
Not anymore. No.
So what do you, you know, put on your trend forecasting hat. If everything is as cyclical as you say it is, and I agree with you on that, what is going to be the next, you know, crazy fashion thing or like part of skateboarding that you thought would never see the light of day that is going to imminently return?
I don't know. We can go, let's see. We can either go in like a tank top, little shorts, 80s glam, or maybe like mid 2000s stoner rock tight jeans. Those are maybe those are coming down the pipe, but I don't know. You can never tell. But definitely when something starts like popping up, like you're like, oh yeah, that's so weird. I never thought that would be back, but it is, you know. And I don't know, but it's hard to predict.
It is hard to predict. But I, you know, if everything is moving on a linear timeline, then I think yeah, the mid 2000s or the early mid 2000s stoner bro Hesher resurgence grunge thing.
One of the ugliest, we talk about this a lot though on this podcast, it's one of the ugliest eras of our time, dressing wise.
What, the mid 2000s?
Like the Muska years?
Not even the Muska years, just
Creative Wreck or before
Creative Muska. Wreck. No, like that entire, like 2005 to 2000, like 2008, 2009 is just ugly for everybody. Like no one looked cool. No one looked cool then. And for that to come back is just like, is truly baffling, because there are eras that are just defined cool, and that is not one of them.
Early 90s skateboard fashion, that being cool right now, is pretty fucking surprising to me. I like never really thought, like, you know, that the whole like big pants, small wheels, like goofy boy, like like I never thought that would come back and be a thing. But it actually looks cool on these kids. Like I kind of like it. So, you know, who knows? But I mean, I would prefer if that, like, you know, the tight jeans thing didn't come back. But
that is inevitably going to happen.
Yeah.
In fashion, big jeans are like, they like Heidi Slimane, the king of skinny jeans, like just showed giant jeans. So I think we have a little time before it goes full
to prepare our hearts.
Yeah, exactly. To before I do my shopping spree at Trash and Vaudeville, you know, we'll have a little bit of time. Well, did you ever live in New York, Jerry?
I never fully lived in New York. I was there a lot, and like, you know, I would like live there for summers, but I never did the whole thing. It was kind of like, I mean, I was just too soft. Like I couldn't do a winter there. I would just go there, and as a skater, it was hard. Like I was just drinking too much and never skating. I would be there. One time I was there for 3 months and filmed one trick. And I was like, dude, like, I can't, I'm like,
I gotta go.
I can't do this. So I never really like fully.
I don't care how many times I did coke with Chloe Sav at Max Fish. I'm just, it's affecting my skating.
My skating is not rising. How does the bod feel right now? How are we feeling after years of this? Because as a fellow athlete, you know, I like to check in on somebody's, you know, kind of physical well-being.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I don't know. Just kind of like it's pretty good. It's just kind of worn out. All the drinking and smoking and like bullshit that I've done to my body.
Starting to feel
I mean, I've always felt it, but yeah, now it's kind of like, I mean, I don't skate as much. So when I do skate, I definitely fucking feel it.
Are you doing yoga? Are you doing any sort of physical thing to kind of maybe reverse some of that? Or are you just going to rest?
I'm literally not doing anything to reverse that.
I actually started smoking more.
Yeah. It's rough out there. I mean, I'm fucking, what am I, I'm 39 now, so like it's like I'm kind of up there. And I remember when I was 15 and I went on my first tour and I met the Donger. I don't know if you guys know who that is. I was like, how old are you? And he's like 25. And I was 15. And I was like, oh my God. Like, that's crazy. I was like, I literally, my mind was like, that's crazy. You're still a pro skater.
You're still doing this, old man?
Yeah.
And now you got Tony Hawk being 75 years old, still fucking landing 720s and shit.
Oh, man. Good for him.
Great for him.
I mean, it's not a sport you age into. That's for fucking sure. That is for sure. But I think that, Jerry, you still have time, bro. You could get into a little routine here and we could fix some of this damage. I don't think, I mean, look, I'm sure you've broken a lot of bones and stuff, but you know, this is mental to an extent.
And we could start easy, just a little skincare routine and then kind of go from there.
Yeah, I'm ready, guys. You guys have really inspired me. Get back on the horse.
As we're closing out, what's next on the horizon for you? You know, personal life, business wise, you know, anything like that. What can we expect to see from the Jerman?
Dude, I have no insight into my own future. I have no idea. I mean, I'm editing a photo book, so like that's pretty much the biggest thing I'm working on right now. But other than that, just kind of like, I don't know, just survive every day.
Yeah. Try not to die.
Try not to die. Pretend to work.
Okay. So big plans coming up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So everybody, just get ready. Get ready for that.
Watch this space.
When is the book coming out? The last book was great. I feel like it sold pretty well. I've seen it on a lot of shelves in my life.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, this one's going to be a little bit different. It's just like kind of more film based work, like,
okay,
you know, it's gonna be more like I mean, the last book was so,
it was all cell phone photos, right?
It was all just, yeah, it was all like BlackBerry photos, and it had more to do with humor, but this one is gonna be kind of more like kind of what I actually do, so excited for that. But I don't know when it's gonna come out, probably 2 years, 1 year.
All right, Jerry, well, thank you very much for taking the time to chat with us. Obviously go check out Sci-Fi Fantasy, where there's a bunch of items that are not available for purchase because they're all sold out. If you are walking around the West Hollywood area of Los Angeles and you see Jerry, throw a milkshake at him.
Yeah.
And yeah.
He likes vanilla strawberry swirl.
I love nostalgia, so yeah. Definitely throw some kind of
bit of a nostalgia junkie.
My favorite thing that has ever been my favorite thing that's ever been thrown at me from a pickup truck is actually an entire pizza.
In the box, that's or with in or out in, of the box?
In the box. I was skating in front of my parents' house, and these teenagers were in their truck, this red Tacoma or something like that, like a Nissan, and they were just driving up the street and back and yelling at me, just screaming, nothing, just screaming. And on their final pass, they threw an entire pizza in the box, and it just fell at my feet, and the pizza just kind of slid out halfway, and I was like, wow, they just wasted an entire pizza. Like, they didn't want that. And
it still looks good.
Yeah, it still looks great. And so that was my favorite thing that's ever been thrown at me.
Good. That's pretty good. Jerry, thanks for joining. And also, where can people find you on the internet? Where can they follow you?
They can, well, I mean, like, I don't really, I just have an Instagram. It's just
drop the IG, queen.
It's just internet famous.
Yeah, drop the IG.
It's just internet famous, which I'm pretty tired of, and I want to change, but at this point, I mean, it was funny 10 years ago, but now I'm just like, oh, I hate,
we've all been there.
Welcome to the club, brother.
We've all been there. You're talking to Done to Death Projects and them jeans, so we're all in the same boat.
And it's actually insane how many Jerry Sues there are out there. I was like, oh, I just want to change it to my name. And then, like, I looked it up, and, like, every single variation is taken. And
really?
Yeah, it's crazy.
I feel like maybe the, you know, I'm sure there's like a head of skateboarding at Instagram that you could hit up. Maybe they could make some arrangements for you. It's not out of the question.
Yeah.
Tell Kim we'll get it done in about 45 minutes.
Oh,
yeah, that's true.
Time to call in a favor. Like, you want that hat in blue?
Start talking. We can make a trade. All right, Jerry, thanks for joining us, and we will see you soon.
All right, thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah, man. Later.
All right. Thanks.
Jerry, see you later.
eyes.